The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So when we say, welcome, we like really mean it. It's not a pleasantry. It's not just like something we say, like to welcome you is, we say that in a sincere way. And what that means is that you and all parts of you are welcome. And in your practice, in a sense, it's a practice of welcoming all aspects of your experience. However connected or estranged you feel from yourself at this particular time in life, the suggestion is that there's a place in the heart, a place in awareness for it. And there's most definitely a place within this container, this path, this practice for all. And there's something in the heart that like really relaxes once you truly get that all of the joy and sorrow belong. That was a famous refrain of one meditation teacher, like everything belongs. And how would it be to actually live so that each element of our experience, there's a sense of like, it belongs. I may not like it. I may want it to go away. But I get it. It has a place in the heart. I can make space for this. And because we agree, as Max is going to talk about, we agree to like what it essentially amounts to like non-harming. We're not going to harm each other, right? We're not going to like behave in ways that harm each other. Given that constraint, that those sort of like boundaries, what that means is that we're like really free to experience and feel and think what we will. So there's this like radical permission to encounter our lives in the, you know, very kind of sincere way. Maybe you know that experience of like something's going on, maybe something's bothering you, and you go to somebody who's like who listens really well, and you like just talk to them, and they don't actually like solve any problem. They're just like really there listening. And even though you've made no like progress in like finding some solution or problem solving, you actually feel better, right? And that kind of like exquisite listening that you might get from a dear friend or is the kind of listening that we do for ourselves. Actually learning to listen that way to ourselves. And we can drop all of the labels of good and bad and success and failure and bow to a much more fundamental distinction between suffering and freedom from suffering. And so all the language of yes and no, of success and failure, of I'm good, I'm bad, I'm competent, I'm incompetent, we can just kind of like bracket all of that and just let it just for a little while, just put that aside. You know, for many years, my main kind of association with retreat was like intensity, renunciation, pain, you know. Like it was all about like working and working through things and letting go, and it hurt. And there's an aspect of that. We are letting go of preferences. We're like just trying to be simple, live simply, take what's offered, not make waves, you know. There's a certain kind of letting go of preferences. And for years I did that, and I think I got good at having sort of like equanimity with pain. Equanimity, like the heart was unruffled or less ruffled by pain, you know, discomfort of some kind. But I actually wasn't really developing equanimity with pleasure. I was like missing out on a part of it. Like my heart could open to the difficulties that are inherent in retreat, but I wasn't like actually developing equanimity with pleasure, with delight. And that's an important side of the practice. And so now when I think about retreat, I think more about just like kind of like dwelling in goodness. Like it already feels good, you know? It already feels good in here together. And there can be a way in which you just like start to entrust yourself to that goodness, and to really like soak, like marinate in that. And so I hope that you kind of like feel that in some way, feel supported by fellow practitioners, you know, what the word in the ancient Buddhist language is Sangha, it's community, it's kind of like beloved community. And we're silent together, but we're very much doing something together. And the kind of sincerity of your practice has like very real impacts on what happens. You know, like I know sometimes it looks like all of the attention kind of goes to the teachers, and like we're the entertainers and you're like audience, but that is not what's happening here. It's like very co-created what we're doing. And I honestly can't even talk about this stuff unless I like feel a certain sincerity in the group. Like I just don't even want to do it. And I kind of clam up and I sort of like, I don't want to talk about what things that are this personal, that are this close to my heart, unless there's sincerity, right? And so there's this like very reciprocal process where like we both, we're like all helping open each other's hearts. And we really are all contributing. And that doesn't mean being a perfect yogi or like doing everything just right or something like that. It's really just a kind of like a certain willingness to give a bit of oneself. Yeah, maybe we say it's a willingness to be kind of like surprised by ourselves, by practice. You know, when we come on retreat, they're often, especially if we've done it before, maybe in some ways if we haven't too, there are like some expectations about what it's going to be, how it's going to be, how we're going to do, what we're going to learn. Like I remember my first retreat, I was like, kind of like planning out the, what I would have to let go of, you know? Like I was like planning, I was like trying to like engineer a whole kind of like spiritual experience for myself and I was like so wrong about what it was going to be like. But we come with these expectations, but the truth is like this path is, it is, it's all about being surprised by ourselves and surprised by both like the truth of suffering and the beauty of the heart. And hopefully those insights come together. There's like, wow, it's like no joke being human. And in our busyness, in our distraction, we've actually overlooked like some really beautiful qualities in the heart. So we're here to look, just to look deeply at our experience, to be open to being wrong about ourselves, about the possibilities for happiness, about who or what we are. You know, it's like every error we've ever made has seemed like the truth until it didn't. And Dharma practice, we say Dharma sometimes, this path of insight meditation, wakes us up a lot of times to realities we sort of like only could dimly see on the periphery of experience. You know, it's like, yeah, certain realities of our heart, mind that we like kind of are vaguely, dimly aware of, but it actually takes silence to bring them from like the periphery of the mind into the center. And so you could say that we're learning in a way to empathize deeply with ourselves. like the saying is like, okay, I'll put myself in another person's shoes, but we actually first very deeply put ourselves in our own shoes. And unless we've actually paused in the way that we pause on a retreat, you literally may not deeply know what it's like to be you. Which sounds kind of outrageous, but I think we actually discover really important things about what it's like to be you. And that changes the heart. So we're here to create something beautiful. And I think of retreats as a kind of it's like a community art project. And the art that we're creating, done mostly in silence, containing joy and sorrow and everything. But when we gather in the hall again downstairs, the community hall, on Monday to say goodbye, to be in that circle one last time, you'll see what we've created. I think it will be powerful, beautiful. And as Max will share, like part of how we make it beautiful is we agree not to harm. We'll spell that out explicitly, but that kind of like trust that, like, okay, we're in the community that's like where we don't have to watch our backs or anything. There's something about that that gives the heart just like freedom to feel whatever it is that needs to be felt. So I feel honored to be with you, to be with Max, and to be practicing together. And appreciate your willingness and sincerity.
Well, with that orientation to the retreat, I feel slightly envious of you now. there's something about, especially if it's your first retreat. I mean, it's such a beautiful, there's an expression called beginner's mind, which you might have be familiar with, and this idea that a beginner is not encumbered, is not weighed down by what he or she thinks she knows or thinks she's going to do, or she can really see freshly, see clearly, And there's a way that retreat practice sort of wakes up our beginner's mind. It's like, oh yeah, that's what an orange tastes like, or that's what standing in the sun feels like after a cold morning. And it's like experiencing, tasting our life anew or fresh. And then so as Matthew talked about this, the magic of retreat happens through this container that we create together. And a big element of that is the safety that I sometimes think of my travels to Japan, and some of you maybe have been there and experienced this, but it's like the first time I walked into a Starbucks and I saw all these like unattended laptops and purses and wallets, and because people just go get a table, right? And then you just go up and get your drink. And I kind of thought, you can't just leave your computer on the, you know, because I'm from New York and I think like a criminal. there's something about, you know, and then being in Japan for a while and then coming back here, and it was like, I could feel these defenses coming back that I didn't know had been dropped. You know, there was just this slow sort of relaxation. And then it was like, okay, I got to be careful. And in a more extreme way, I felt that coming back from having spent some time living in a monastery, a Buddhist monastery, where it was the kind of thing where if you left your scarf on a rock, you know, you could go back. I could go back 2 days later, 4 days later. It was still there. You know, your water bottle. It was exactly like, it's just, I finally got it. Like, no one will ever touch my stuff. You know, it's just safe. It's safe here. You kind of, it's like when you're at home, you kind of leave something here. Okay. And so when we feel safe, when we feel at ease, we can relax. And when we can relax, we can begin to, in the most simple way, feel what we're feeling, experience what we're experiencing. And this practice, the request of this practice is we don't have to do or accomplish anything. We don't have to huff and puff. We don't have to prove something. We don't have to achieve something. It's simply about the willingness to be who and what we are in this moment. And, you know, in a sense, what could be easier? It's like we already are that. It's only through the resistance, you know, that we can't see it. There's an expression, if you don't, you probably mangle it, but it's something like, if you don't see the way, you don't see it even as you walk on it. Even as you walk it, you know. We've never been apart from it. But sometimes we think we are. And so that's why I envy you. And I hope we can bask in your goodness, your practice. And I was telling Matthew that I feel like teaching a retreat is almost as good as sitting it, you know, just to be in the Dharma field. And this is very sweet. So safe to feel what we're feeling, experience what we're experiencing, and safe to explore our relationship to experience. It was very important teaching for me to understand that I may not be able to have much control over what's happening, what I experience. You know, you have some control, right? You know, you can have this kind of tea or this kind of tea. But we're all human, and in one sense, life is never going to be exactly what we want it to be, you know, and this is Dharma, this is the truth, this impermanence. So we don't have much control over what's happening, but the place where we look, where we practice, where we are freed, is in how we relate to what's happening, is in the relationship, you know. So that's maybe an invitation to explore what's happening and then how am I relating to what's happening? Am I resisting it? Am I denying it? Am I leaning into it, clinging to it, wanting more of it? Or is there ease? Is there some ease? Is there some, as Matthew was saying, yeah, this belongs. This too belongs. Our tradition, in this tradition, is to begin retreats with a little ceremony, a little chanting, which in a way sort of marks this as a sacred space. And all I mean by that is the sense of our experience, your experience here, is worthy of reverence, you know, to have this feeling that each moment is it. Each moment is worthy of my care, my mindfulness, my attention, my compassion. So this for me is sacred. This for me is what makes this, you know, a spiritual practice. And in our tradition, we begin a retreat by reorienting ourselves, reorienting the heart. And this is about, it's called the refuges and precepts. And precepts are the ethical, sort of the ethical trainings that we agree to undertake for the reason we're talking about. It creates the container of safety. It took me longer than I care to remember that to really appreciate the value of ethics in meditation practice. One of my teachers would say that if you feel your meditation has stalled somewhere, you feel you've plateaued, take a look at your sila. Take a look at your ethics. Sila is a Pali word for ethics. That ethics is the foundational training. You know, when we agree to the best of our ability, not harm ourselves and not harm others, you know, it frees us up. It lightens us. So we say that ethical precepts are a training, the kind of foundational training for meditation practice, but they're also the fruits of meditation practice. A person who is mature in the Dharma is ethics, is acting ethically, is not harming. So these five are not to kill, not to take life, to the best of our, any life, intentionally, not to take what is not given, not to lie, not to harm with sexuality, and not to misuse intoxicants. So those are sort of the five agreements. Sometimes these ethical precepts are called the protections, because they protect others from us, but they also protect us. You know, so maybe that's enough to say about that. And the question of refuge is a very interesting one. And it can be an interesting question to reflect on. What do I take refuge in? What do I depend on? What do I have faith in? What do I have confidence in? Just as an exploration. When we go in go for refuge or take refuge, I see it as a reorienting of our heart towards truth. So we say take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Buddha is, that's the question, right? What is Buddha? What is Buddha? Buddha, some people understand this Buddha as a person, you know, a person who lived, who woke up, and who developed certain qualities in the heart that we too can develop. So Buddha is this quality of awakening. Dharma is what the Buddha awoke to, the truth. The truth of how things are. And Sangha, as Matthew said, is us, is the fact that a Buddha can't do it alone. We need each other. There's an expression in Zen, only a Buddha with a Buddha. It's like, you know, you can't see your own light, but other people can see your light, and you can see other people's light. So it's like you're pointing at each other, and we're mirrors for each other. So one of the, I guess the last thing I'll say before we chant is, one of the opportunities of retreat and what makes retreat practice especially powerful is the support for continuity of awareness, continuity of mindfulness. So just as something to explore, it's like not to have a narrow view of what meditation is. Meditation is only when I'm sitting here and cross-legged and eyes closed. And but can I widen and extend into time the number of moments that I'm awake, that I'm here, that I'm aware? And so we'll have our sitting, we'll have our walking, and these transition times are sort of times that we tend to sort of drop out of the tree or drop off the branch or something. You know, it's like, so just to notice, just to kind of, and one of the most helpful ways of keeping this continuity is to stay in the body. Let your body be your teacher. You know, don't do anything that takes you out of your body. As you move through the building, as you go to walk, as you make a tea, as you let yourself slow down to a pace that feels, you know, comfortable. And the willingness to be here with ourselves, hang in here, moment after moment, is a profoundly respectful act to ourselves. And then at some point we bring that out in the world to others. So I think some of you know these chants. Maybe for the Pali, I'll do a call and response. So, you know, if you want, if you feel moved, you can repeat what I say in the Pali, and or you're welcome to listen. You're welcome to. You know. So first, we'll start with the refuges in Pali, and then we'll do the precepts in English. So. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Dutyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami. Dutyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi
Tatiyampi
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi
Tatiyampi
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
For the purposes of our training here together,
I vow not to kill.
For the purpose of our training here together,
I vow not to take what is not given.
For the purpose of our training here together,
I vow not to lie.
For the purpose of our training here together,
I vow not to misuse sexuality.
For the purpose of our training here together,
I vow not to abuse intoxicants.
It's a little bit after 8:30, and this retreat is officially open. Ding! It can be nice on the first night just to get a very good rest. We often come into retreat with sleep dead and just the momentum of a full lives, and so feel very welcome to sit here in the meditation hall if you want to do some walking or go back to your room and snuggle up with whatever stuffed lovey that you brought. Curious George or a teddy bear or just your pillow. And I wish you good night's sleep and very sweet dreams. And we will see you bright and early in the morning. Thank you.